You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Yankees manager Aaron Boone, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN New York. Have a great show, boys.
I guess Aaron Boone does know football. And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this somewhat snowy January 23rd, 2023. Michael, Don, and Peter with you until 6:30, Ranger pregame show at that point. The postmortem for the Giants, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll met with the media today. They lost the game to the Eagles on Saturday, and they lost in convincing fashion, pretty much showing us that the Eagles are just leaps and bounds better than the Giants right now when it comes to talent, and it showed. And it showed. And there was one play in particular that showed me that Brian Daboll knew that they had very little chance against this team. Fourth and eighth from his 40, down 7-0, and he goes for it. It was a ridiculous play in a game against evenly matched teams, but he felt that his defense could not stop the Eagles and that he had to match them score for score. Yeah. And fourth and eighth ended up being a terrible play. And then the Eagles came right down and made it 14-0. And you know what? They never looked back. It might have been, you know, everybody said, oh, he was so brave when he went for the 2 points against the Titans. This was dumb, but it was also desperate because he realized, we can't beat this team. We can't beat this team with defense. We've got to score with them, and they couldn't do that either.
So we're not letting him off the hook because the Eagles were that much better.
No,
right?
I think it's an awful call.
It was, to me, Don, I don't know how you felt, and I don't know how Giants fans felt. To me, it signaled, I just don't believe in this team. Like, yeah. I just do not think we have it. Listen, if it was fourth and two, we can have a different conversation. But the idea that you wouldn't try that early in the game to just pin them deep, regain control, get a defensive stop, and get the ball back. To me, it said everything you need to know. It was the low point of the season for what's been an amazing season for Daboll.
I didn't understand why then, later on in the fourth quarter, fourth he doesn't go for it on fourth down. Yeah, so there was a lot of inconsistency there, for sure. But clearly, you're looking at it, and you're putting all your eggs in one basket very early in the game. And it just, and he ended up being right, because I guess he sensed that. Listen, I'm going to have to go blow for this team because I'm not going to be able to get a stop. And he was right. He wasn't getting a stop. So I guess was he a genius knowing, looking in the crystal ball and figuring this is our only way to win? Or was he completely panicked and desperate and turned out to be right because he didn't have faith in his team? Either way you look at it.
Third option, Don, was that call, I mean, a small part of why it happened. Like, calls have effects on players, and you can't rule out that that had some impact on how the team knew then that their coach viewed the game.
And also, they didn't seem like they had a great call for fourth and eighth. I mean, what are you going to do on fourth and eight against that defense? They can't run the ball that well. And they certainly can't pass because of the fact that Daniel Jones had no time to breathe, none.
No, this was men against boys on Saturday, for sure. So, you know, we can analyze that. Does that show you that he's not the coach for this team? Obviously, there's always going to be debatable calls. But what you saw on Saturday was that this team's just not at that level. They're just not. Hurts, obviously, he's either 100% or played like it. And it wasn't even just that. It was every aspect of it. And the biggest disappointment to me, guys, is that they couldn't stop the run either. You know, we could talk all we want about Hurts. It wasn't like Hurts went out there and threw for 400 yards.
Yep.
And it wasn't like he completely killed them with his legs. They just handed the ball off and got chunks of yards on every single play.
Yeah, they could not stop the run, Don.
Yeah, that's
and
what
and Wink Martindale
them.
Had to know they were going to run. He had no answers.
It killed them. Killed them. No answer at all. So it was a humbling experience. There's no question. That because you look back and listen, I stayed away from the game because I thought that hook bothered me, but I thought they'd be competitive. But Hurts was 100%, and they were just not competitive. They're not at that level. I mean, or should they be? You know, probably not. But still, you get excited. You get ready to play a game. You beat Minnesota in Minnesota, and you go to Philadelphia, and you were so competitive with them in Week 18 without Jones, without Barkley, without a lot of other significant weapons, and yet you kind of hung with them. And you felt, all right, you throw in Hurts, but he's not going to be 100%. The Giants have been competitive all year, and that game was pretty much over on that second drive. I mean, once they went down 14-0, there was no way you could conceive in your brain by what you saw on the first two possessions by Philadelphia, the Giants were going
to
win.
And I'll tell you, one of the biggest fallacies to me in professional football that drives me crazy, it's constant, is how quickly people get away from the run. Even if you're down 14-0 early, you have 54 minutes left. Like, you immediately start dropping him back. Guys, we knew if they had to drop back Daniel Jones all night, we knew it was not going to work, and it just seemed like Daniel Jones was scrambling instead of running. That's how it felt.
But
they got completely taken out of their game. It really was men against boys. And from a coaching standpoint, I'm sorry, guys. Like, I mean, Nick Sirianni, maybe he'll turn out to be good, but I mean, really good. But at this moment, did they get completely knifed up by Don Shula or Bill Belichick? Like, you wouldn't think that Daboll and Sirianni would be on completely. Listen, I know, no. Don. I know there's reasoning. I get the talent disparity. But there are teams that played with the Eagles this year recently. I mean, Dallas just beat them. Washington beat them. They had divisional team rivals who beat them this year, and they couldn't even be in the building with them.
Well, but, let's. I'm sorry, Michael. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, I wrote down just as a little exercise all the games that the Giants won this year. They didn't beat anybody. The most impressive win was against the Ravens, and I guess you could say the Vikings in the playoffs. I mean, they lost twice to the Cowboys. They lost twice to the Eagles. They tied the Commanders once and beat them once. The good teams on the schedule, they lost to like they were supposed to.
And right, because, again, that's the reason why we get caught up, we all do, when the team starts, you know, winning down the stretch and they make the playoffs surprisingly and they win a playoff game. But it's great in sports that eventually it all comes out in the wash, right? And the Fugazi teams or the teams that overachieved, it's probably the nicer way to say it, they go home. You know, Jacksonville had a nice ride. They go home. Tampa had a nice ride. They go home. You know, and now when you look at the four teams that are left, nobody can argue with those four teams being the four best teams in football. The only one that's probably kicking themselves, Buffalo, because they were home. But who knows if they would have gotten that home game, guys, or gotten that same path had they played out that game against Cincinnati when Hamlin went down. So these are four of the best teams in football. But it all reverts back. Yes, the way they played down the stretch, Peter, especially when Hurts got injured. But this looked like the Philadelphia team that started the year as the best team in football, and maybe that's the way it'll finish. You know, if San Francisco beats them 7-3 Sunday, we'll look and go, well, maybe that's really bad for the Giants. If Philadelphia wipes the floor with San Francisco, wins the Super Bowl, we're going to look and say, no, they're just not in their stratosphere. It doesn't matter about coaching or anything. Just, hey, Philadelphia is the best team in football. And in the beginning of the season, it looked that way, and it sure looked like that out on Saturday.
Well, we're in the middle of the Big Blue Report brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. Also, I don't think it cost him a tremendous amount of money, but I think it cost him some. That was not an impressive performance by Daniel Jones. So I think that Daniel Jones falls somewhere in the middle between the outrageous euphoria that the experts were just like flooding him with after the Viking game and the poor performance that he had on Saturday. It's somewhere in the middle, probably closer to euphoria than agony. But really, let's all pump the brakes. This is a work in progress. And the way I look at Daniel Jones, you might all disagree, and this might send you all into a little bit of a tizzy. Daniel Jones' upside to me is Kirk Cousins. It's not Justin Herbert. It's not Josh Allen. It's not Joe Burrow. I don't see it. Maybe I'm dead wrong. I don't see it. And I understand there are no weapons there. He looked overwhelmed in this game. Overwhelmed. Had no answer for what the Eagles were doing. I'm sorry.
His upside is Dak or Kirk Cousins.
I mean, yeah, that's right. About it.
That's. I
mean, we're making him out to be a $50 million a year quarterback. Good luck. If it gets to $50 million, the Giants say, thank you very much for your service.
It's not going to get to $50 million, and it's not going to drop to $20 million. I mean, people get crazy. It's so funny one game in baseball, basketball, or hockey is not a big deal. But in football, it's the end-all, be-all because you only play 17 of them, right? And it's one and done in the postseason. So the win against Indianapolis and the win against Minnesota, they were great wins, and it got the Giants where they needed to be and ahead of schedule. But it wasn't, I'm going to give them $40, $50 million a year. And this loss against Philadelphia is not going to drop them down to 20. Everything is – people are overreacting. It's probably going to be what we thought all along. It's going to be somewhere in the vicinity of 30. So, and I think it probably never moved, guys. In the true experts, in the general manager's minds, the guys that get paid to know this, they're not reacting with every win. So let's not overreact to this loss. And just as Michael was telling us, don't overreact against the Colts and the Vikings either. It's the answer's probably somewhere in the middle, guys. And to the true experts, it probably never left the middle.
I didn't want to be the cold water guy because that's the way I'm always portrayed, and I guess that's who I am, but I didn't see it. I didn't see as great as he played against the Vikings. The Vikings are terrible. They're the worst great team that you'll ever see, if that makes sense. So he shredded them like he's supposed to. They don't have a good pass defense. And he did exactly what he was supposed to and used his legs.
Right.
Great. Congratulations. But against a legitimate team, you know what he looked like? He looked like Daniel Jones from last year. Sorry. Now, maybe if they get him weapons, if they go out and get him DeAndre Hopkins, maybe he becomes that player. I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see him being great. Right. I don't see him being a superstar. Well,
but it's also not just about the handful of games either. I mean, that's the worst he's looked all year against what might turn out to be the best team in football. He had a very good year.
Yeah.
You know, and without weapons. So I can understand fans saying, well, let's get him some weapons and maybe he could be even better. You know, he threw for 3,200 yards and 15 touchdowns. Can he get weapons and then throw for 4,200 and maybe 25 touchdowns? And that's what you're paying for. But if it turns out that he's Dak Prescott, if he turns out that he's Kirk Cousins, that's a good professional quarterback.
Yeah.
And the alternative is not having a quarterback. It's all about the timing.
But so, I'll tell you what, Don. You think the Cowboys are happy they're locked into that deal with Dak Prescott? Dak Prescott is what you saw yesterday.
That's the cautionary tale.
That's a perfect way to put it. That's a cautionary tale for the Giants with Daniel Jones.
And also the Cowboys should be a cautionary tale because that's what happens if you give Barkley a ton of money, the way Zeke's career is coming. You know, he's still decent, but he's way overpaid. You just got to be careful, and Shane knows this. But the one thing is I'll find a running back. But to find a quarterback. So the timing for Jones will probably pay him more money than maybe he deserves because he's not being compared to Joe Burrow or Pat Mahomes. He's being compared to the quarterbacks that are the alternative to Daniel Jones if the Giants decide to cut bait.
But don't you think you have to be worried about that? Because I think that's why the Cowboys married Dak, because they said, well, I mean, if we don't marry this girl, well, I mean, what girl's going to come by that's going to be able just as good? You can't do that. If you don't think that person is the one, you can't go long-term with that person.
Yeah, it's almost the years as much as the money. You just don't want to be locked into this forever if you really think that his ceiling is not that high. It's not an easy decision. This is not a no-brainer at all.
No, it's not easy. It's not easy, but you look at where they are right now. You feel like you got the coach, and it does feel like the NFC could be – it's tough because Philadelphia is in your own division, right? But eventually Brady moves on. Eventually Rodgers moves on. Where if you're the Dallas Cowboys for the next 5-6 years, is that an awful thing? And if Jones ends up being maybe more money in the postseason, if he's got that little Eli in him? Because, listen, Dak's got talent, but just something – that he gets moments where – it doesn't look like he's the guy. Does that mean that Jones maybe statistically will be him, but could he end up being better? Like Eli was look at the stats. Romo was a better quarterback than Eli.
Yep.
But Eli was money in the postseason. Romo wasn't. Can Jones be the Eli and Dak be the Romo, where statistically Dak's better, but maybe in moments,
well, that's the
he can
silver
end up
lining.
Being the better quarterback in the postseason. We'll have to see.
That's the silver lining in the way they lost on Saturday, is that Daniel Jones looked a little out of his element. He looked outclassed, but he was not the reason they lost. Dak's the reason Dallas lost.
Right. Yep. Everybody still looks at the kicker. It was Dak.
No. The kicker pulled it together and did what he had to do, actually. Dak, and by the way, it wasn't just the picks. every screen was a yard behind someone. He could not do anything right. So at least you didn't have that kind of game from Daniel Jones.
And there's a history with Dak in the postseason. You take a look at his second half numbers compared to his first half numbers. All right, so you pay on the stats, but the hope is you start getting Daniel Jones some weapons, and maybe you can elevate the statistics during the regular season. And he's already got a playoff win under his belt. Look how long it took Eli to finally get one. Remember, it took two kicks at the can before he finally went on that Super Bowl run. So I think somewhere would I be 40? 40's tough, but if I can get him at 35, I'm doing it.
Yeah, because what does Cousins make, like 32 and a half? That might be, to me, the top I'd give him. And Dak makes about 33, something like that. I mean, it's got to be somewhere. Don't give me Mahomes' numbers, and just because he's a free agent now and he's the most available. If somebody wants to give him $45 million, see ya. Really, see ya. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And then I keep reading in the papers yesterday and today, you know, Saquon Barkley will be really upset if they franchise him. Too bad. You want to stay here? We're not going to give you a five-year deal. You're going to be 26 in February. What am I doing? You see how running backs age? The Cowboys had no chance once Pollard went down because Ezekiel Elliott's not the same guy you gave all that money to.
So the question becomes, do you franchise him with a non-exclusive and take the chance that somebody is going to give up two first-round picks?
I would do that to Saquon. I don't know if I'd do that to Jones. You got to come into a deal with Jones.
And I think they will.
When you know that the franchise, the non-exclusive franchise, 32 and a half, that's your end game right there. And give him like 4 years and guarantee a lot of the money. But I thought Mike Vaccaro had a great column in the post today. Joe Shane can't be John Mara. He can't have big blue glasses. He's got to do this like a surgeon. No emotion whatsoever. He's got to keep cap space available. He's got a lot of places to. Should he keep Marshall? Leonard Williams? Or is he going to go with Dexter Lawrence? Because Leonard Williams was $32.5 million against the cap. So you've got to make tough decisions. It's got to be devoid of any kind of emotion. If he thinks Daniel Jones wants more than $32.5 million, then no, I'm not doing it. Hey, and you know what? I believe my coach to develop another quarterback.
Well, Peter, if you remember, we had a nice long conversation with Joe Shane at camp off the air.
Sure.
And we were talking about, and I just flat out said to him, the mistakes I think the Giants made before he got here, being married to Eli Manning and not wanting to cut bait because they were going with their heart instead of their head. And you remember, Peter, he was like, yeah, you can't do that as a general manager. Now, maybe he was just, you know, saying whatever he was saying and not giving it much thought. But I felt it was like a genuine conversation where he agreed that you can't worry so much about heart. Now, will John Mara be like, no, we drafted this guy. We want to keep him and cut the knees out from Joe Shane. But if it's Joe's decision, Michael, he didn't draft this guy.
Nope.
He's going to do what's best for him. This is his first chance to be a general manager of a football team. He's in it for the long haul. He didn't make any deals at the deadline because he wasn't going to go in all on this year. So I have faith, Michael, that they're going to do what they think is right. And if they think Jones is the guy, they'll be all in. And if they don't, then I think they will have no problem. This is not going to be, well, we got to hold on to our draft pick and we'll look foolish if we let this go and the fan base will kill us. He is going to do what's right for this organization. Now, I really believe that.
That is, by the way, the Big Blue Report brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 7 area locations. We got some things to discuss with Peter, too, where he really put himself out there and really, you know, borderline might have put himself in horse's ass category. But, you know, we'll talk to him
about it.
Didn't
cover myself in glory, you'd say.
Not at all. Now, Don... we got plenty of time today. Well, even though we're going to be off at 6:30 for the Ranger pregame show, why don't you just look right into the camera right now and speak into the microphone and apologize like a man to Aaron Boone and tell Aaron Boone that he does know more football than you.
No, he doesn't.
Because he said the Eagles were going to win easily. And
well, because
what?
He got one right.
But he said it with certitude. You thought the Giants were going to win.
First of all, why would I apologize to him at all? If I thought I got something wrong, I'd say I got it wrong. I didn't offend his family. I don't have to apologize.
You said he didn't know football. You said he knew less football than you.
He does.
No.
He does. What, because he got one pick right?
That wasn't proof. Michael,
Oh, my God. You're such an infant. And besides, I didn't – you know, all these people going, oh, you thought the Giants were going to play a – I didn't pick the Giants, okay?
He laid off.
I laid off the game, so I wasn't 100% confident in my feeling that the Giants would keep it close. Otherwise, it would have been one of my picks. Why don't you back me? What did Boone ever do to you? I never embarrassed you at a press conference. I never called you out.
My God.
I didn't rip you on the air.
I just think calling you ridiculous. An apology.
No, there's no shot of an apology.
He called him unbelievable. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
What did Don think he called me?
Ridiculous.
He
big
didn't
difference.
Say ridiculous.
The same thing. It's
not I think it would have ruined our relationship if he said ridiculous.
He's being ridiculous and he's not being unbelievable because everything he's saying is completely believable. So that's the only reason that I'll go with ridiculous over unbelievable. You're such an infant.
Why don't you just apologize?
No, I'm not apologizing, and I still stand. But he gets one pick right.
But he had a lot of picks right. He was 9-6 on the year. Better percentage than you.
Oh, he's picking one game. I'm above 500. I'm happy where I am. Believe me, if we did picks, and even if we did picks and he beat me in the pit, I'm sorry, Peter. I don't mean to offend you and drag you into this. I think I know more football than you, and you're going to pound me like a drum in the picks. What do the picks have to do with knowing football? I nailed that game on Saturday. I got that game right about the Chiefs. How am I supposed to know Mahomes is going to get hurt? Backdoor cover. Give me a break with your picks deciding who knows football and who doesn't know football. Guys can go suck your thumbs. I know more football than Aaron Boone, period.
No, you don't. Aaron Boone actually texted me before the game, and he said, and I swear this is true, and he said to me, and I will quote, he said, 31-14 or 31-17 Eagles. He almost had it right.
Right.
And you were dead wrong.
So that's right. Well, listen, doesn't prove anything.
Is it possible that Aaron knows the Eagles better than Don? Sure.
Yeah, I would think so.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
So sometimes people have a really good feel for their team, and he did. He got it. But Don didn't even pick the game. I'm the only hackadoo on this show who started believing the hype around the Giants.
Yeah, you're very, very pliable. You really are.
I mean, I don't know if I'd use the word pliable. And that, Don, that really was brutal. The brutal thing about us losing the Kansas City game is that you couldn't even be mad because Doug Peterson's smart and did the right thing.
Oh, but I knew it. First of all, there were two separate times I thought I had the game won on those two turnovers. But the second pick, I'm like, all right, I'm money. Get a couple of first downs, it'll be over. Once they got the ball back.
You knew.
I knew. Because it's football. You can get in a field goal range. You and I can get in a field goal range.
Sure we can.
So you knew that I said it. I was in the room. I just said it to a buddy of mine. I'm like, because we were over a neighbor's house for that.
Wait! You watched a giant game in a neighbor's house?
No, not the Giant.
No, I said we're talking about the Chief.
All right,
the Chief game.
Jaguars.
And I said this is over. They're gonna. And he's like, no, it's two score. I'm like, they're not gonna try to go for the touchdown. As long as they get in the field goal range, they're gonna get that. And once they got inside the 30,
never loved Doug Peterson more.
No, but there's nothing to love. That's
no,
the thing
no,
to
people
do.
Don't always do it though.
No, people don't always do it that way.
McDermott didn't do it last night. Down three scores, down 17. He goes for it on 4th and 8 with eight minutes to go instead of kicking a field goal. What's the matter with you?
I gotta kill Romo for that too. Romo goes, listen, it makes sense to cut it to two scores, but you got to get in here. No, you don't. No, you extend the game. Always extend the game.
Because why would you end the game that soon?
It makes no sense. Romo bothered me a few times.
Maybe
yesterday.
If it's 4th and 1, but even then, I need three scores. I got to get field goal. What does it matter, the order?
I would like to give one of our, since Don doesn't, admit that he's not as good at football, one person that's better than all of us is our very own Anita Marks in keeping track of all of her picks that she has on the Sunday show with Tannenbaum.
Mm-hmm.
And who else?
Kiwanuka.
And Kiwanuka. She, with picks against the spread and props, she was 45-18. She was 5-1 this weekend. 45-18.
Good. Outstanding.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Well, that's...
She might know more than Boone.
But I don't know why that's you're a putting wild picks is knowing football.
Well, you know, what else do we have, Don? Are they going to cut open our brain and do an autopsy?
That's all we have.
Anita, no, when you got that kind of a record,
that's
Anita,
impressive.
No, but we're talking one game?
Yeah, right. I'm with you.
No, but Anita's been doing it for years. She knows.
But
she does the work. She goes to the draft. She goes to the combine. She knows her stuff. I'm not even
going to
mess
wow,
with saying
money.
I know as much football as Anita. She does the legwork. I don't.
You should.
But Aaron Boone, forget about it.
You're wrong. It's
I could get hit with a brick and lose half my memory. and know more football than Aaron Boone.
Oh,
I think you're wrong. It's 98.7 ESPN Super Box Bonanza 2023.
I don't want to get mad at him. I'm mad at you.
With over $35,000 in cash and prizes. Each box, by the way, comes with additional prizing, including Yeti coolers, Knicks and Rangers suite tickets, JBL speakers, Fanatics gift cards, and much more. Plus the big game payout of $500 in the first quarter and third quarter, $1,000 at halftime, and then the grand prize final score wins a trip to Resorts World Bimini in the Bahamas, plus $2,000 cash. Get your boxes by listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg, Barton Hahn, and The Michael Kay Show through February 3rd, day after my birthday. It's all brought to you by Bartesian Premium Home Cocktail Makers, Sloman's, Resorts World Bimini in the Bahamas, PC Richard & Son, Grand Marnier, an award-winning blend of fine cognac and orange liqueur, and 98.7 ESPN New York. For full contest details, go to ESPNNewYork.com. We'll revisit Peter's ridiculous take from over the weekend when we get back. And Aaron Boone is smarter than Don when it comes to football. Right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, so do you want to take phone calls first or take Peter to task, Don? I will defer to you. I mean, you don't know football like Boone, but you know radio.
Let's take some calls.
All right, and we'll save the Peter stuff for later.
Yeah, because that could really dominate the rest of the show.
Yeah, let's go to David in Buffalo. David.
Hello, guys. Hope you're doing good. I hope you guys enjoyed the games yesterday.
They were fun, all four.
Yep. So I just wanted to talk about, Michael Kay, your take on Daniel Jones. And I really do appreciate that you are pumping the brakes on Daniel Jones. But I just want to talk about Kirk Cousins because, you know, I don't think the right comparison is Kirk Cousins in the sense of a ceiling because Kirk Cousins is a much better passer than Daniel Jones. In fact, Daniel Jones will probably never become a passer like Kirk Cousins. He's probably not close to it, but I think the better comparison will be probably Tannehill, you know, the dual threat option. Because Kirk Cousins is just a much better quarterback in the sense of passing. I don't think that's the right comparison.
No, I don't. No. You know, David, I'm not sure I agree with you. Daniel Jones has a good arm, and he's a pretty good passer. And you throw in the fact that he can run, which Kirk Cousins is not good at. And I think I use Kirk Cousins as, you know, kind of a comparison salary-wise. But if you ask me who would you take as your quarterback right now, I might lean toward Daniel Jones, Don.
Yeah, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I don't think you were comparing the quarterback's ability.
No, I'm looking at
you were comparing their salary and their ceiling, and like but Peter's analogy of the table at the table, will they be at the same table? Because Cousins is not on the elite class, but he's a very good quarterback. He'll get you into the playoffs, you know, and maybe with the right team make a run. I think that if that's your ceiling, then that should be the money that you pay for. When you start going north of 40, guys, you're starting to pay for elite quarterback status. And And I don't think you can do that based off of the evidence they have. And I don't think they'll be fooled into that. Now, the question is, will some other team be to force the Giants' hand?
Let's go to Tori in Brooklyn. Tori.
Hey, Michael, how's it going? Love the show. I just wanted you, you know, at first, I guess, to explain your take a little more about the Giants' schedule, because you were trying to hammer them because I guess they had an easy or more favorable schedule, when in all reality, then, if you're saying that, the Eagles had one of the easiest schedules known to man. So you must think that they're going to get killed when they play San Francisco, but maybe that's not what you meant. So
no, I just said, Tori, that if you look at the Giants' schedule, right, not their schedule, but look at who they beat, there's not an impressive win on there except for the last one against the Vikings, because whether you want to admit it or not, the Vikings had 14 wins, right? So whether they had a negative point differential, they still were a 14-win team, and they played in a hostile environment. To me, that's a big win. But the Titans turned out to not be a good win. Panthers, not a good win. Bears, not a good win. Packers,
At that time, it was not a good win. Right. That was when they were garbage.
Right.
I mean, they could not win.
Ravens, well, you is thought a decent win. Ravens, a decent win.
Ravens
that's
is a good
not
win.
A bad win.
Jaguars turned out to be a pretty good win.
But back then, like Peter said, they were stumbling and bumbling. Then the Texans, the Commanders, the Colts, and the Vikings. So, listen, you only play the schedule that you could play, but they don't have that wow. They didn't beat the Cowboys, and they didn't beat the Eagles. And those are the two teams in your division you have to beat.
No, they were very competitive, and they found ways to win games. But, again, this is not going to be the same team next year. They're going to add. Because you look at the teams that have all made runs, right? They were works in progress, right? Philadelphia went and got Brown to add to their wide receiver core. They went and got Adamican Sue to add depth to their defensive line, right? San Francisco went and got Christian McCaffrey this year. Like, that's what the Giants are going to be doing moving forward. This grace period that we may allow the Giants right now is gone next year. It's gone. Right? So being happy with making the playoffs and winning a playoff game, you're not going to be able to sell me on that next year if they make the right moves. But they didn't make any moves while the team, like all the teams that took the next step, they made the necessary moves because they thought they were ready to win. The Giants didn't. And I don't think Jones per se wasn't ready. I don't think the team was ready. I don't think they're ready. Daniel Jones wasn't embarrassed. The team was embarrassed. Daniel Jones not on that level. The team is not on that level right now. But you hope that during the offseason, they'll make the necessary adjustments.
Let's go to Stuart in Brooklyn. Stuart.
Yeah, Michael. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I like your call on Philadelphia because I look at the Giants' talent, and I really think they're a million miles away from Philadelphia. They have holes all over the place, and I don't know if this new general manager can fill every hole. For example, they need a tight end. Their offensive line is not that great. The defensive backfield is not good. I mean, we didn't have a good record. 9-7 is not that good.
No, it's good enough to get into the playoffs. I mean, I would agree that their talent didn't measure up with Philadelphia. No. And when you look at the fact that they were 9-7-1 and got into the postseason when no one expected that, that's why the season, once you get further away from this embarrassment against the Eagles, turns out to be really a tour de force. Right. But they've got a lot of holes, a lot of holes, and they have a lot of cap room. At this point, I think they have the third most cap room, and they should have more once they start cutting people. But it's a lot of holes to fill, Don and Peter. I don't know if you could do it in one offseason.
Well, maybe not, but this was year one of the rebuild. That's why it's so shocking they made the playoffs to begin with, and that's why they didn't make any moves, because they didn't want to hurt the rebuild by going out and doing something at the deadline to improve this team, because they thought, and rightly so at the time, I guess, that this was year one of a rebuild. It wasn't about this year. Now, they got into the playoffs and they won a playoff game, so that changes things. But as far as expectations for next year, but for them, that they've now are still solid on holding on to picks and having the cap space to retool. That's why I say the scholarship's over. Next year, you're going to expect big things from this Giants team. Not 9-7-1 and settling for the sixth seed may not be what the expectations are going into next year. They shouldn't be.
Let's go to Paul in Florida. Paul.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually a relatively happy Giants fan right now, even though it was very tough to watch that game. I feel like it showed that we do have the season as a whole, showed that we finally have a coach and GM that seem to have us on the right track. As you guys just said, we beat teams that you're allegedly supposed to beat and kind of won some and lost some against teams in the same elk as us, but against the upper echelon teams, the disparity is clear. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they're able to focus in on building the line still and maybe some linebackers. And more, I think everybody got so excited with the playoff win against Minnesota. We started all talking about 2007, but it looks more like 2005 team, like the beginning.
You know what, Paul? That's a great point. I think everybody got a little giddy, including the media here in New York, who sometimes wave the pom-poms just like they're in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. They got all giddy about how great the Giants were, comparing it to the 2007 team. Now, with hindsight being a factor, okay, they had great talent on that team. Defense, offense, this team was getting by with duct tape, I'm sorry. And a coach that made some wise decisions and had them disciplined and changed the culture. But they're not a great – I mean, Richie James, one of their top receivers, dropped a 77-yard touchdown pass. All of a sudden, Daniel Jones' numbers would be completely different too.
I know. It's interesting. Right? The game was over. It would have just been cosmetic. But you're right. That would have been a nice little thing to have on your ledger in a postseason game, a 77-yard touchdown pass. He just flat-out dropped the ball.
Yeah, not good. Not good. So there's some good things to look at, some bad things. It does worry me a little bit that they couldn't come up with any scheme to stop the Eagles' running game. The Eagles had the second most rushing yards in a playoff game since like the 1940s or something like that. I mean, that's how bad this was. They could not stop it. Jalen Hurts didn't have to throw. We never even tested his shoulder. He didn't have to throw. When he did, he made the throws. But for the most part, they just thrashed them with the run. That's concerning. Wink Martindale couldn't come up with some scheme, and that was a problem all year, Don. All year. I think they were 28th against the run. Maybe you don't have the personnel, but you got to come up with something to stop them.
But that was an oh wow moment for me on the very first play, that 40-yard pass. Like, okay.
Right.
Even though he'd have to throw a lot, right at that point, anybody that thought, okay, the shoulder's compromised, he's not going to be able to throw the ball, that went right out the window on the very first play from scrimmage.
All right, let's take a brief timeout. 1-800-919-3776. Coming up, we'll give away a Super Box Bonanza.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you can get, obviously, you'll be entered to win the big money, all those thousands and thousands of dollars, and then you can get a prize right away from just finding out what's behind the box. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Well, you're going to love this, Peter. I need to get your unedited take on this. This is what Floppy Chops writes. Let's say Kay retires to his Scrooge McDuck piles of money and Boone and the Yankees have a falling out. Does Booney immediately take over Kay's role on the show because he knows more football and sports than Don? I'll hang up and listen.
It's a great question. According to your logic, Michael,
yeah.
I'd say
it's
yes.
Only a great question if you go by Michael's logic.
Insane, nonsensical logic.
Yeah.
You don't think that would be a great show? Boone, LaGreca, and Rothenberg, Rosenberg?
I mean, you swelled me for Rothenberg,
well,
too.
Face it, tough. Yankee schedule would kill our show as much as it does now.
Wow. No major change.
Woo! Wow. Woo! Tee-wee. This is from Anthony Greek, noted gambler, also our Yes producer,
right.
Via OptiStats. The Eagles rushed for 656 yards against the Giants this season. Do you think that's a lot or not?
No, that's an incredible amount.
That's the most rushing yards, Don, by any NFL team against a single opponent in a season in the Super Bowl era, regular and postseason.
400 would be a lot.
The Eagles beat the Giants three times this season by a combined 63 points. You think that's a lot, Don?
That's a lot.
That's the largest scoring margin by an NFL team in a three-game sweep against an opponent since 1929. When the Giants beat the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets, Peter loves that team.
No, I remember that.
Three times by a combined 75 points. That was 4 years into when the Mara patriarch actually bought the team for $500 in 1925. So what we saw was pretty historic in a bad way.
And by the way, everything you're saying is perfect setup for whenever you get to what my take was over the weekend.
Then we're going to do that at 4 o'clock because I think this is going to need some... some heavy lifting.
Yeah, we need to carve out the 2.5 hours left.
I mean, we might even blow out Steve Young at 5 o'clock because I think this is so serious.
It's I don't know why people are taking it so serious. I don't think it's that hot a take.
Well, no, the fact that you don't think it's that hot a take is how you took it.
Right.
It's I don't yeah. I don't
if
get
you took
it.
A minute to really analyze it.
It's just not that hot a take. But anyways, everything you just said fed my take, which is it was a nightmare performance on Saturday. Nightmare.
I'm not sure why those stats
that has
nothing shouldn't
to do
have been
with
even
your,
more expected
with your silly little take.
Because it has to do with the fact that this is how I operate as a fan.
Well, let's wait. We don't want to give it away.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I didn't give it away.
I mean, you're handing out milk. We'll make people buy the cow.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Go to Spencer in Long Island.
How's it going, guys? I just wanted to echo Michael really quickly about Daniel Jones. Ultimately, what I would do is I would franchise tag him. To me, it doesn't make a difference to me if Barkley stays or goes. I think you could draft someone who could replace his production in the third, fourth, fifth round. To me, if you franchise Jones, you get to see another year of him playing with a different schedule, a different group of teams outside of just the Eagles and the Ravens as major opponents. And you give yourself another year to evaluate whether he's the guy or not, and it gives you a chance to put serious talent around him rather than the practice squad players you have with him now. Thanks, guys.
You know what? I like your take. You know, it gives you another look, maybe even franchise him the year after that, get another look. Because what's the one thing that we always say about Jones? Well, he had a really good year, but he has no talent around him. Well, go out and get him great talent. Well, get him skill position players, and let's see what he can do. And then give him a big deal.
Well, let me ask you this. Would a free agent be apprehensive to come here with the quarterback under a franchise tag?
No.
Well, you don't believe in the quarterback. Why should I join your team if you're not even completely sold on the quarterback? And then if he leaves at the end of the year, now I signed up with a team and I don't know who the quarterback's going to be in 2024. I'm asking the question. I don't know the answer 100%. If you pay a guy, he's probably going to come here. But if he's got options, Michael, I would think there's a chance that they may not win a face-off if he's got a chance to go to a team that's got a quarterback as opposed to has at least a quarterback for a year.
Yeah, but it's at least 2 years because you have 2 years of giving the franchise tag. So,
yeah.
I mean, you could just sell the free agent on this. This is more of a financial thing. The guy wants $45 million and – we want to get him at 32.5. Now, if you give him that tag rather than the $43.5 million tag, you risk losing him for two first-round draft picks. Now, if you look at the first draft that Joe Shane had, he's pretty good. His draft was pretty good. So maybe he's really good with that. Remember, he traded Kadarius Toney for more draft capital. He likes drafting. Now, it's still, you know, up in the air about Neal, whether or not he's a real good offensive lineman. We'll see. That was his seventh pick. A lot of people think that he hit on Kayvon Thibodeau. We'll see. So he's good with the draft. He's a good evaluator. That's what he did with the Bills. And did you ever think at all after watching the Bills and the Bengals last night that maybe Josh Allen really misses Brian Daboll? He's a different quarterback. And he looked terrible yesterday. Terrible. Last year, he looked like he can lose.
Or is it just, you know what, Cincinnati's?
They are damn. They are damn good, man.
They are good. And Joe Burrow's really good.
Yeah, really when it's good. All said and done, he might be the best of them all.
Did you
he
know
really he might just be. Might be that.
Did you know that the Bills, the new stadium they're building, no dome, smart.
Well, it's part of their personality.
No, so it's part of the Vikings' personality,
yeah,
too.
But – yeah, and really, can you honestly, has it worked? In terms- How many trips to the Super Bowl via the Metrodome and the new place? So,
I think you have good talent. Good talent.
I
think
I
that
get it, but
playing in those conditions doesn't help a quarterback.
I know, but it's just so it's such a part of their soul. It's so Buffalo, and I mean that as a compliment. Like this, you see what I'm saying? Like so, it's so part of their personality. Again, I was too young to know what it was like for Minnesota to go to a dome, but just looking back at the history of it, it hits way different. Bud Grant sidelines and snow. I don't
hate it. For football, I don't care. For baseball, got to build the dome. Football-only market, I'm kind of fine with it.
Yeah, so the Stones don't play in Buffalo. I'm sure they'll get over it.
We have early lines, guys. Eagles, 2.5-point favorites over the 49ers. Chiefs, just a 1-point favorite. Oh, now pick it's down 'em. To a pick 'em. The Chiefs and the Bengals are down to a pick 'em.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.